lovely to have you guys tonight. And you know, this morning we had a great service, and there were some of you guys here. It was awesome to have you. This morning I just shared a little bit about my weekend, or my week before this weekend. But when I went for a jog, I'm not going to tell too much about that. The other thing that I did was yesterday I went some ice. I did some ice skating. Okay, so who of you have done ice skating before? Okay, who of you have fallen on ice skates before? Yeah, so you know, I'm kind of good at stuff like that. Not that counts for anything, but when that happens, you tend to fall a lot harder, and when everybody's watching. And I made a while we were clapping this evening, I was like, did I clap that hard this morning? No, I remembered my swan dive onto the ice, and I'm like, oh yes, that's what happened there. Yeah, tonight I wanna speak on a piece of scripture that, you know, kind of ties into that. The other thing that we usually do as a family, or we did when I was young, was do some water skiing behind boats and stuff. And whenever I see this sermon, you know, and what Jesus, or this piece of scripture, what Jesus did there, then I'm reminded of that. And I know how that feels, to stand on the water, but something needs to pull you. So when Jesus walks on the water, then that must have been really something to behold. Let's just read the scripture together tonight. It's in John 6, from verse 16 to 21. It says, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. They got into a boat, and they started to cross the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. And when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. And then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. So, you know, I'm just in my head picturing this scene. I've been on sea, but not too far into the sea. I haven't done deep sea fishing yet. To see those waves that are really so big that it's like mountains that come and go against you. I've seen some YouTube clips of big ships being in big storms. You know, we see these massive ships and we think, you know, those things are great and big. But then you watch some of those video footage and the waves that come against those things and makes it look like it's a matchbox. And I'm like, God, how big are you? And how scary can the sea be? Okay, so while I was preparing, there was this thing that, you know, there are things on the sea that are more scary than the water. Two things. The first thing that is more scary than the water when you're out at sea is fire. Okay, so fire is more scary on the water when you're on the water. And the second thing is the wind. The wind is a scary thing, and especially when it starts to howl and blow. So I don't know how big that storm was that that the disciples were facing and rowing through. And just a couple of things about the story, because I know you guys, you're going in your head some places. So what this story and the sermon this evening is not, is the sermon is not Jesus that is sleeping in the boat, okay? Jesus is sleeping in the boat, and then the disciples come and they wake him up and they say, God, there's a massive storm. Help us. And then he calms the storm. So this is not that story of Jesus sleeping and then somebody comes and wakes him up and says, please, come and help us. And then What this is also not a story of is it's not the story of God and Jesus calling you to step out of the boat. Okay? So, we know the story about Peter, and when he sees Jesus coming toward him or walking there in the same vein, then he says, Jesus, if it's you, call me out of the boat and let me come to you. And then Jesus calls him. So this is not that story that I'm speaking about tonight. Another thing that it's not is when Jesus came and he called his disciples, they were all fishermen, and he said to them, leave everything and come and follow me. This is not that story. Okay, so now I've just decluttered your minds. Okay. Because when we look at the Gospels, and, you know, Jesus did many things. And maybe sometimes he did something more than once. So we don't really know. Scripture doesn't tell us. And when the writers of the Gospels, when they write a story, and we do it still today, okay? It's not like it's weird. But whenever you tell a story to your friends, you put emphasis on some parts of your story and then less emphasis on other parts of your story. Okay? So if you want something really bad from mama, you are going to put a spin on your story which is going to tug on mama's heart very deeply. Even though the story that you are telling might be a little bit too much. Okay, I'm not saying this is what the writers of the gospel did, but just to put it into context, when we tell our stories, it comes through us with a purpose in mind. Sometimes we just chat, you know, but we tell our stories through our minds, through our experience, and also sometimes through what we want that story to achieve. Okay, so when we see the writers of the gospels bring stories, then the stories are there, Jesus did them, and then the writer uses that story in such a way as to put emphasis on a certain part of the story that he wants to. So that's why I'm just decluttering all the boat stories, because there's a lot of boat stuff that Jesus did. And I've said it a lot, you know, because, and that's why I said about just us doing some water skiing when I was young. There's another boat story that I didn't even put on there, is Jesus has got a multitude of people, and we'll speak at the end about the multitudes that he fed, but Jesus is speaking to a multitude of people. Now, even if we're just in here, and there's not a PA system, if you guys are talking to one another, I'm okay, I'll get Irina here. If Irina wants to get your attention, or my wife, you know, or any of the ladies that doesn't have a bouldering voice like me, it's going to be difficult for you just when people are speaking to one another to get their attention and to have everybody hear what you are saying. Okay? And then I read the story in the Gospels where Jesus comes and there's this situation. They're on a beach somewhere. There's a lot of people there. And he wants to speak to the people. And then he asks Peter, listen, Peter, I want to get into your boat and I want to just push off a little way back off the seashore because I want to speak to the people. And when I read that, it was one of those aha, awesome moments in my head that I remembered. Because in this place, okay, and that is what actually makes it difficult for us with our sound system, when this place is full of people, if you sit in front here or there, then there will only sit. She's like, you can see she's turning her head away from the speaker there. But she's getting a lot of noise there. But if you sit there where Gavi sits, he's like, speak up, Deval, I can't hear you. Because these things at the top and all of the mats that we've got here, and then you as people, you take up a lot of sound. Okay? Some of us take up more sound than others. But you absorb the sound. So when the sound goes from you, then you know, the stuff that it's in the way, it gets absorbed as it goes. Okay, so Jesus comes and he does this thing. He pushes out and he speaks to the people. And I'm like, hallelujah. Jesus is amazing. Because when you are in a boat, when there's no wind and it's dead still, on water, it's the most amazing thing. You can be a kilometer and a half from somebody on the water and you can say, hello, Valalam. And that person will hear you. Because the sound bounces off the flat water and the sound reaches that person. And I'm like, Jesus is God. It's practical, yes, to get away from the people. But also, as he speaks, he's making an amphitheater so that people can hear what he's saying more easily. So, I'm not talking about that boat story either today, okay? So, what is this about? I want to speak about what John is trying to convey to us. This is the story of Jesus getting into your boat. Getting into our boats. Because that is what he is emphasizing in the story. So, you know, when life happens, and life happens continuously, you know, one day you think you're on top, you've got everything covered, and that's the words that came today as well. And the next, the waves are this big around you, and it's tough everywhere. And then it's into this place that that John is writing the story. The disciples are rowing in their boat, struggling against the wind, and then Jesus walks toward them. Now, I want us to have a kind of a Paul mindset, you know. And Johnny did a great job to encourage us just regarding our situations. To have that Paul mindset where when you are in circumstances, Paul and Silas in jail sitting there, just pray and sing hymns to God because God is God even in those circumstances. Okay, so keep that in mind as we go. So, who of you know who John Wesley is? Yay, I'm asking questions. Otherwise, I feel like I'm speaking to myself. John Wesley was the guy that started a whole movement that God has done great work through, and the AFM comes from that as well. But when John Wesley was going on one of his missions, he started to preach the word, and God did a massive revival through him. And he was leaving for a place, and then as they were going there, they were in a storm. And the storm was big, and the water was coming onto the boat. And you know what? People look at us when we are in storms. That is the single most impactful thing that you with your life can do to show Christ to people. So, John Wesley is on this boat, and then there were English passengers with him because he was English. And when the water was pouring into the boat, they were all screaming like crazy because they might die. But then there was a handful of people. They were Moravian believers. Now, if you've got time, go and read the Moravian story. It's amazing. But what made the Moravian Christians different from other Christians is they truly knew Christ in difficult situations. The Moravian movement, the Moravian mission movement, was one of those mission movements that impacted the world because it was massive, but not because of, you know, if you take it into today's day, it wasn't a status thing. It wasn't a big, flashy church movement, organization, whatever. These Moravian people, they went to the lowest of the low. Some of them took their families and they went to live on islands where there were slaves. So, and then they knew that there was a 90% probability of them dying on that island with the slaves. And the other thing, and this is what stirred me when it comes to them, they went there for the people's sake. The chances of their seed going into that people group, getting to a place where God can actually use it, because on that island there was a 50% mortality rate. And they were slaves. They wouldn't get off there easily. But these were the types of people that knew that Christ said, go and preach to the ends of the earth this gospel. And they went to those places. So just to color in who the Moravian people were. So this was John Wesley standing and seeing these Moravian people standing on that same ship where these English people are screaming and shouting. And the Moravian people are singing hymns to God. God, you are awesome. Knowing Christ and not knowing Christ. In a storm, people look at us and they see what we are made of. Okay, so now Jesus comes and he walks past his disciples in the story. And when I'm in that situation, I see Jesus, and firstly, I'm afraid because it looks like a ghost and he's walking on water. Hallelujah. When you receive him gladly, and that's what the scripture says there. When Jesus said, and that's great, they're afraid, they're screaming, and Jesus said, don't be afraid, it is me. And then they said, Jesus, come. And they gladly received him into their boat. Now, back to the Moravians. Let's say that our boats, you know, that we take Jesus into is our lives. And that is what happens. When we take Jesus, you know, whatever place we are at, when we take him into our boats, we are taking him into our lives and making him part of who we are. And when you are in a situation, then that place, that part of who you are in Christ, peaceful, comes out when the storms are there. So we willingly receive him into our boat because he becomes part of who we are, part of our boat as we go. Now, one thing I want you guys to know about this specific instance is Jesus didn't come ask them for directions. Okay? It wasn't a GPS type of thing where Jesus knew where he was going. He was walking past them. And maybe if they didn't see him, that he would have continued through. But then they see him and they ask him, Lord, come into our boats. Not because Jesus needs the help. We need Jesus. The disciples needed Jesus. Now, when we receive him into our boats, and this is what I want to just leave with us tonight. It's not enough just to let him in our boat, but we've got to let him steer, letting him be the one who holds the commands, and we no longer insist on being the captain, but we become the deckhand. Now, this is difficult sometimes. Because the easy thing to do when we are in a storm is to ask Jesus to come and to help us, which is fine, okay? Please, don't stop asking Jesus for help. It's also what the disciples did. Ask Jesus to get into your boat and ask him for help. That's fine. But then the big transformation that we need to do in our